Hi, and welcome to the Fundraising Leadership Podcast, episode 36. I'm Janice Cunning, and I'm here today with Michelle Molloy-Dillon. And Michelle and I are thrilled to be joined by two guests from Future Possibilities for Kids. We have Nicole Thibodeau, Director of Programs and Operations, and Rakesh Lakhani, the Executive Director of Future Possibilities for Kids. So welcome to you both.
Hey. Welcome.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
So we were really excited. We, you know, we've been having a lot of guests lately, writing blogs and joining our podcast. And we thought, who would be more perfect than Rakesh and Nicole, who actually work at a nonprofit that has coaching as its core focus? So why don't you tell us a little bit about what Future Possibilities for Kids is for those who don't live in Toronto and haven't heard of this great organization?
Yes, thrilled to do so. So Future Possibilities for Kids is a coaching-based organization. We provide leadership and life skills programs to children in their middle years, so ages 9 to 12, from underserved communities in the greater Toronto area. And at the core of what we do is a coaching model with the kids that we're working with. They basically go out there and they're coached into achieving a goal of contribution, which is a community service project of their choosing about something that matters to them. And throughout the program, they plan it, they implement it, they achieve it, they celebrate it. And by the end, they've done something wonderful for their community. But what's also happened is they've built their confidence and their leadership and their self-awareness and many other important life skills.
What a wonderful leadership challenge. And what's the age range of the kids that you're working with?
The kids we're working with are 9 to 12 years old. So that would be grades 4, 5, and 6.
Yeah. And Nicole, you are also a certified coach. Why don't you tell us a little bit about your background in coaching?
Sure. So my background in coaching is focused on life skills and wellness-based coaching. And I've been able to have the opportunity to really bring that into Future Possibilities for Kids over the last several years. And it's an opportunity for me to continue my growth and development and continue to offer anything that I've learned over my time as well to the organization.
Great. So we thought we're going to do a couple things today. We're going to kind of unpack the blog post that the two of you co-authored for us. But I thought maybe before we do that, we could talk about for each of you, like, what is it like to work at a nonprofit that really does at its core have this coaching culture? How does that impact, you know, your day-to-day life or the team that you work with?
Mm-hmm. Yes, definitely. We are aiming to live and breathe the concept of coaching and everything that we're doing, and actually both of us have origins in the program. I'll let Nicole speak to her history with FBK, but I actually started as a kid coach myself in 2006. So having started there and never really understanding what coaching was, it was definitely a great platform to be introduced to the concept. And then since then, it's been something that's been central to my growth and development, but also you can see the organization almost living that and increasingly walking our walk every day. And what it looks like is being in an environment that to me and to others feels safe and feels welcoming and open, and people feel like they can be their true selves and to know that the organization and others around them really care about them as a person. And I wish we could see more of that in our world today, because it really is meaningful, and it's a great place to be in, a great space to be in.
I love what you're speaking to, Rakesh. Sorry, go ahead, Nicole.
Yeah, sorry to cut you off there, Michelle. I was just following along on Rakesh's vibe that he's putting out here, because it's very contagious. The enthusiasm, as you can hear, is something that we really promote within our organization and just comes out of us so generally and so naturally. And so similar to Rakesh's story, I started actually in 2012 as a kid coach as well. And then I've just continued to grow through the organization as a staff member since 2013. And it's an incredible opportunity for us to be a part of a coach-based organization by, you know, really living and breathing, as Rakesh is saying, the values of coaching. Because to me, working with an incredible team that we have here at Future Possibilities for Kids, it's an endless opportunity for growth and development for all of us on both a personal and professional level. And it really is that opportunity as well to learn with each other and from each other. The leadership is cultivated, our ideas and our visions are shaped, and we're we're ultimately shaping the decisions that we're trying to make for the organization as well. So all around, it's a feel-good experience, and it's a great opportunity to ultimately connect with our team.
So the way you're describing coaching as being, it's almost like a background structure to your organization that provides all of you, the kids as well as you all, personal support and teamwork.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. You've got it. And it is, you know, again, like that opportunity for us to really build from that, and having that open space and that opportunity to just express all of those wonderful values is mm-hmm. so important.
Yeah. I mean, that's a very, very important aspect of the idea of being a coaching culture as an organization, that it's not just the kids, it's the volunteers working with the kids, it's volunteers that are working with other volunteers, and it's just the staff working with volunteers, staff with each other, and it's just in every direction we're putting this in there. We definitely want to walk our walk, as we said earlier, and we were actually, just to put this out there, but of an example, there's a really recent example, just in preparation mm-hmm. for this podcast, the kind of environment it is that Nicole and I feel safe to talk to each other about how we're feeling about doing this. And there's this nervousness and excitement. And instead of judging each other or not feeling safe to even express that, we feel comfortable expressing it and then supporting each other in it, and then come through in definitely a better space than if we just kind of kept it to ourselves and felt like, you know, dealing with it in isolation.
Yeah,
that's great. That's great. And I love how you bring up that you're walking the walk, not just talking the talk. And what an amazing example that you're providing for the kids that you're working with, too. To really yeah. model what that looks like.
It also feels like, you know, once you're a kid coach, it feels like you then you end up being the program director and the executive director. You can always tell a good organization when volunteers start to work for the organization, right? There's no getting out. So let's go through, I loved how, you know, you had such clarity in the article, like the ideas of like really that the core container for you is around listening, you know, asking powerful questions and acknowledging. So let's kind of unpack those. Let's start with listening and, you know, Nicole, maybe you can give us an example of like, how does that show up? More particularly, I think for our listeners, we're interested in like how as a team you, you know, how the listening impacts how you are together.
Yeah, for sure. So as you've identified in the blog, we wanted to talk about three of the pillars that we really lean into and try to focus upon within Future Possibilities for Kids, but specifically within that kid coaching role. So listening is something, it's a skill that we say is a great opportunity to start from, and to be able to build from, and to truly know how to listen well, that takes practice. You know, it's not necessarily something that we are all very good at, you know, in different moments, but it's an opportunity to really lean into it and practice more of it. And a lot of the time that does involve bringing more awareness to yourself when you're in that space of actively listening. And we have different levels that we train our kid coaches in when they're looking at listening. And, you know, that's something that can be offered in that training. But it's really that space where the questioning and then the acknowledging, the other two pillars within that, those skill sets are going to ultimately come from.
Great. Yeah. And then Rakesh, why don't you give us a little bit more about how powerful questions show up at FPK?
Yes, for sure. And actually, one thing I want to point out, is I know Nicole's actual title, but really she's our chief coaching officer. So what she's been talking about in terms of instilling this, it's definitely been continual work in progress. And it's about sort of practicing through doing. And it's the same with questioning. There's this natural curiosity that we're promoting around here, that it's not only okay to ask questions, it's encouraged, because that is the way to, if you want to call it, peel the onion or, you know, get beneath the superficial layers that people put out there, and really get to the core of, you know, who the person is. And by having questions where you're listening to the person, and then you're actually building on that and asking questions to show that, of course, first that you're listening, but then you build, you get deeper and deeper, and then you can really start to understand who a person is at their core. And sometimes that takes you in interesting directions, because the questions you ask, you might not have sat down and said, here's the questions I want to ask that person. You might go in a whole bunch of directions, but letting the journey sort of take you there. And so with our staff, definitely we're part of it is encouraging it by modeling it. So a lot of times we'll ask a question when perhaps in a managerial or leadership role, you might give an answer. So we'll ask, you know, what do you think? Or we'll ask what else might work, or who else could help with this? So that encourages folks to first of all, see us doing that. But then it also, the questioning really puts it back for the person to see that they have value to add, and that they are going to be heard, and their ideas and their voice matter. So it's by modeling and just encouraging that curiosity for people to really want to dig deeper.
What I'm really hearing you both say too is there's, through both listening and asking powerful questions, there's an openness that you're creating in the culture. And I'm hearing sort of a culture of non-judgment too. It's like being open to listening, asking questions, having permission to ask questions and get clarity, having permission to answer the questions no matter your role, and have a voice. And there's that that no judgment piece that is sort of a magic ingredient that I'm hearing underneath some of the words that you're saying as well.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. We try our best to be in a space of not judging, and offering, you know, the space and the opportunity for people to explore their own thoughts, you know, especially as Rakesh is saying, some questions that you can invite others to go on a discovery for themselves. And even in our programming, when we're working with our kid coaches or our children, this might be one of the first times they're considering for themselves what their answers to those questions might be. Mm-hmm. So inviting them to have that space to discover that and then turn around and communicate it could be a very powerful experience.
Yeah, that's beautiful. It's Michelle and I are in the midst of our Coaching Essentials course. So we're very focused on the, you know, sort of offering people some ideas around powerful questions. And there's just so much juiciness there, right? And then also it's like that, I think you just said the word space, Nicole. Then it's like you also have to close your mouth and let them think about it, give them time to answer. So
absolutely.
And then the third point in the article is acknowledgments. And why don't we explain what that is? Why don't you explain, Nicole? Because I think sometimes we get a little confused about like complimenting and acknowledgement. So give us a little explanation.
Yeah, for sure. So just to take us back real quick, to go from listening, which is that foundation, we're building upon that. So in order to have great questions or juicy questions, as I love to hear you say right there, Janice, you get that from the listening. And then in order to have a powerful acknowledgement that you can offer to another person, whether that is a coworker, a friend, a partner, a child in the program, you need to be able to understand from somebody when you're asking those powerful questions. It's that opportunity to get to know them even better. So an acknowledgement, it goes beyond just praise or compliments or flattery. And it's not to say that those things are wrong or that they're not good enough. It's just they tend to be a little bit more of a surface experience, right? A way of acknowledging someone's existence or speaking to them. Whereas an acknowledgement, the root word of that particular word is no. So in being able to deliver an acknowledgement, you're communicating, I see you and I get it. And you're ultimately saying, you know, in this space, I understand what you might be going through. I always try to encourage our kid coaches through our training to experience this for themselves when they're in conversation with other kid coaches. So during our training, we actually give them a simulation where they can practice doing that. And we invite them to experience that for the opportunity for them to feel what it feels like, but also witness the change that can happen in the other person when you're communicating, I see you. And an acknowledgement is, you know, it could be a powerful word that you're being able to label a behavior with, or a strength that you're witnessing within that other person. I tend to find that you see change. And we've actually had a volunteer in the program in the past tell us that acknowledgments are similar to miracle grow for plants, because with our kids, you ultimately see them quite literally stand a little bit taller, and, you know, they might be, you know, shining a little brighter in that experience.
Yeah. And I love what you're saying, because I feel like it is a skill. We have to learn to give acknowledgements, but almost more so to receive. Mm-hmm. It's kind of uncomfortable to actually receive an acknowledgement and stay in that.
Yeah, it can be quite vulnerable. That's where the growth comes in, right? And that's where the coaching culture is trying to support that particular feeling of safety and being able to communicate, I see you, I hear you. That can be rare for a lot of people. And so it's definitely a value we try to, you know, start with in the office here with our team, but then it continues to transfer out to the rest of our SBK community.
Yeah. If I can add to that as well, and thank you for describing that so well. It's like the acknowledgement piece is the central piece to people recognizing their own success and having that done in an external place, but helping to internalize it, because that's why I think compliments are almost like someone else's perception of you, whereas an acknowledgement is like a lot deeper, and you could see someone as close to the kid stand taller. Like, an acknowledgement could stay with somebody for days, weeks, because it's really speaking to the heart of like who they are, and everything can be acknowledge the smallest successes. And I think that the really important part of this is this has to be like, it has to be sincere and genuine. It has to come from a really meaningful and genuine place for it to be received that way. But it's definitely, it's such a powerful thing. And we really love doing it here. Although we're still also working on receiving them as well.
Oh, yeah.
I'm actually, Rakesh, I love, why don't you give Nicole an acknowledgement just to model, you know, if somebody hasn't heard it done before.
Oh, wow. I wasn't expecting that. Where do I begin? Nicole, you are the heartbeat of this organization. You, as I call you, a chief coaching officer, but you're more than that. You live and breathe our values. You hold everyone else to that standard because you know how important it is for the kids in our program and for our community to feel appreciated, to feel heard, feel validated. Whenever you're speaking to whoever it is, they feel like you're present for them. They feel honored. They feel like they belong. And you're such a really important reason why we are where we are today.
Oh, wow. Thank you, Rakesh. that is a vulnerable space to be in, definitely to deliver as well as to receive. But thank you very kindly for that.
That was beautiful.
It was.
Yeah.
Thank you. So, you know, just as we're coming toward the end of our conversation, as you both know, we love to give everyone who's listening something that they can actually try to step into this at their own workplace or in their own life. So, Nicole, why don't you give us a challenge?
Sure. I would love to throw one down. So as we were talking about here with the three main pillars that we identify within FPK, which is listening, questioning, acknowledging, this is a practice that takes a bit of time to really be able to master. And it's something that, you know, we encourage you to be kind with yourself as well. But we'd like to be able to challenge our listeners right now to make a positive change, to start somewhere. And so naturally, it seems fitting to start with listening. One technique that we do share within our community, within our Kid Coach training, is this idea of WAIT. And that's an acronym that stands for Why Am I Talking? And this particular acronym is designed to draw awareness to yourself when you are in conversation with someone and invite you to slow down, to be in a space of being open to listening and truly hearing that other person. I will caution, it's tough. It's really tough to do. And it is, again, it is a practice. It is something that we invite you to be kind with yourself about as you are walking through that journey. But, you know, be willing to lean into that silence and embrace it. And I know Rakesh actually had a personal story with this that he was hoping to share. So would you like to go for it?
Well, yeah, thank you for the space to do that. We definitely have people asking us, so do the kids, like, what's it like working with the kids? And are there challenges or issues? And, you know, the kids really go along with this process. They've bought into doing it. They've put their hand up to say they want to be part of the program. What we usually find is that it's the adults that need a little bit more of the training and unlearning. And the way that we do things is a little bit different than what we're talking about here sometimes. So, you know, everyone has it in them to do this. But what happens is the adults want to jump in. They want to fix. They want to problem solve. And coming from a good place. And this WAIT idea is to just hold yourself back, As Nicole said, lean into the silence, lean into the discomfort, don't need filler, let that space play out. So what I actually have on the inside of my mouth, I can't show you and I wouldn't want to, but it's like actually a little kind of a hardened area on the inside of my mouth from actually having to bite the inside of my lip when I was talking to the kid when I was coaching in the program or working with other volunteers. And over time, it's a reminder of you just need to hold back whatever you got to do to make sure that you're not jumping in and robbing the person potentially of that space to express themselves. So that's, you know, we're always telling the adults, like, whatever you got to do, if you have to chew on gum, if you have to bite your lip, if you have to hold something in your hand, just, you know, really, because a lot of folks do find it difficult. And we still do too. We're human.
Yeah, absolutely. And the way you talk about robbing someone of the opportunity to come up with their own answers, it's such the opposite of what we usually think when we're jumping in to help, right? Or jumping in to advise. Right, that we actually can be robbing them of coming up with an answer that's best for them and giving them space. Mm-hmm. So that's such an interesting juxtaposition to play with.
I've also known Rakesh for a long time, and I did not know this story, Rakesh. So I'm
saving it for a special occasion. But Michelle, thank you for acknowledging that, because it's especially for children at this age group that we're talking about, volunteers and staff too, but for kids who may not have had their voice heard or maybe getting used to what it's like to use their voice. If you're not listening, if you're not doing the weight, you might be shutting them down, and that's not the purpose of what we're trying to do here. So it's especially important for kids at that age that are just getting started with using their voice in many cases.
So that's a great segue. You know, some of our listeners are in Toronto or the Greater Toronto Area. So why don't you let them know if they're intrigued by this and they want to find out more about how they could be a kid coach? And then maybe, who knows where that could lead you to, or proof that it could lead to great places. So tell us about that.
Yeah, absolutely. So this year coming up is going to be our biggest year ever. And, you know, if you are looking for an opportunity to, you know, practice these kid coaching skills and cultivate them even more for yourself, we're looking for 300 kid coaches. We have 300 spaces available here in Toronto, and they are starting to fill up already for the fall. So if there is space that you're willing to give to this and you've got the time to, you know, look at signing up and join our community of volunteers as a kid coach. You can learn more and actually by following our website, which is www.fpforfuturepossibilitiescanada.org, and just click on the Get Involved button, and you can sign right up there and learn more about what that commitment will have in store for you.
Great. Yeah. And we have a link in the show notes for this episode to your blog. And then you can also link to FPK through there, and also to Rakesh and Nicole in case anyone wants to get connected with them on LinkedIn. So I think we will start to wrap up. So I just want to acknowledge Rakesh and Nicole. I mean, I've had the pleasure of knowing both of you for quite some time now. And you really just are so inspiring, because to me, you both embody positivity. And I've been to your office, and you can feel the energy of possibility and growth and positivity whenever you walk into your space.
Well, thank you for saying that. And we want to also acknowledge the two of you for the great work that you do. And Janice, we've known each other for a while, and you create this safe, open space for us to chat. So we want to acknowledge you and also acknowledge everyone who's listening, because just by the very nature of listening to this podcast, it shows that they're in that space and have the desire to learn and grow. And we want to acknowledge and celebrate that. So it's there's a lot of acknowledgments to be had. Yeah,
sure. And such wonderful skills and tools that you both have shared today. Thank you so much, that people can take out into their organizations in small or large ways. So thank you so much for these practical tips.
Yeah. So we're going to remind you that Nicole's throwdown challenge is to think about the acronym WAIT. And when you find yourself in a situation where some coaching is needed, ask yourself, why am I talking? And we'll invite you to go put that into practice. So thanks, Nicole. Thanks, Rakesh.
Thanks, Janice. Thank you, Michelle.
Thank you. Bye.